you guys doing? Yeah, it's so good to see you. Oh man, it's awesome to be in church. I want to thank you for moving your clocks. Clearly some didn't get the memo. They're still sleeping, but you are here and we're going to have a spectacular time. If you're our guest here today, this is your first time. Thank you so much for coming. We are so honored that you would spend your Sunday with us, and we pray that no matter what you've experienced up to this moment, that the Lord will impact your life richly. And we are still some people coming in, so if there are any seats available in the row, if you can move to the center, then the ushers can simply just plug people on the side and then they don't have to climb over you. Unless you love that kind of thing, then don't move, okay? I'm going to pray for us, because the craziest thing is when you and I are together like this, I need Jesus to say the right thing and you need Jesus to hear the right thing. That's just the way it is, because the only magic that can happen in this room, if God touches what I say and touches what you hear. Can we do that right now? Father, online and in this room, we need this Sunday miracle, this weekend miracle of you putting weight in the things I say and you putting understanding in what people hear. I pray that you would cause that miracle to be so extraordinary that what I don't even say, people will hear. That they will just hear the intentions of heaven for their lives. And thank you, God, that you silence the lies of the enemy over your sons and daughters. God, that not a single person here would feel condemned and cast aside. I'm very confident of this one thing. This one thing remains, that you love us. And you love the worst part of us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That today that you cause us to have hearts of obedience. God, thank you that you quiet the storm in every heart. That today as the family gathers, the Father speaks. Thank you for hearing that prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we just honor the worship team and all of our tech teams that has been here early, early, early this morning? So let me ask you a question. When you open the front door this morning, now let me first explain to those who are watching us online and those who are watching this TV broadcast, Rochester, New York in the winter is very cold. I'm from Africa. Let me tell you something. It is so stinking cold. You open the front door and you lose your breath. You literally got to close the door and go like, I'm alive, I'm alive. Let's try this again. It is so cold. But if you look around at this church, why would you go anywhere else when you're surrounded by beautiful people like this? It's true, really true. So here is a question. Do you like where you live? But it's rhetorical. Don't answer. Don't. Because just when you want to answer, let me tell you of this place that I read about. It's at the southern hemisphere of our planet. It sits on 2 miles of ice. Now, what makes this so awesome is that 6 months out of the year, the sun never sets. But the other 6 months, the sun never shines. Yay, jazz hands. The other part of this that is really interesting is the temperature is a balmy minus 51 degrees Fahrenheit on its best day. For our international guests, that is 47 degrees centigrade. Now, the wind chill, a minus 83 Fahrenheit, a minus 64 centigrade. Now, that is cold. I can tell you nothing grows there. Nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. But then the article says, on the first floor, in the corner of this research center, you will find a pod. When you enter in the pod, there is light that always shines. There is a beautiful humidity, and there is a protection from the outside elements that causes the most exotic and the most beautiful fruit and vegetable that your mind can ever imagine to grow within the most frigid circumstances. It provides food ongoing for 200 scientists that makes the coldest and the darkest place in the world their home all winter. Now, when I read that, this is my conclusion. Anything and everything can grow anywhere as long as it's planted in a greenhouse. Keep that thought. Now, last week, Dennis spoke so brilliantly, and he used this word that God in a strange way, uses a thing called paradox. Now, paradox, I've got to admit, makes no sense. Let me show you a paradox. He says this, God says, if you want to be great in my kingdom, you've got to become a servant. The way up is the way down. Now, you talk to any life coach that doesn't know God or the things of God, they go like, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Let me tell you another paradox. God says, if you have a need, take the little you have and give some of it away. Because God says, when you give, you will receive. Tell that to your accountant. You know what he's going to tell you? You've got to put it down. Just put it down. It makes no sense. When you have a need, you don't give it away, then you have less. But let me tell you how paradox work. God says, you have a need. Let me step you back, because then I'm going to leap you forward. And when I leap you forward, the world will know it's me. In other words, you go the wrong direction, you end up in a superior place, and they go like, it's got to be God. Paradox. But there is another thing we find in Scripture. It's called parallels. Can you just say that with me? Parallel. That means God knows that you and I have a hard time understanding spiritual things. And at times, I've heard this so often, I don't read the Bible because I don't understand it. And it's not really true. Our minds just quickly disconnect, because here's the question. How hard is it, the Lord is your shepherd, I shall not want? It's not a mystery. It's simple. But you see, we like all freaky and real crazy and like, when we read Scripture. And God says, I will help you with a parallel in the natural that you do understand, so you understand spiritual things. Let me help you understand what I'm just said. God says, if earthly fathers know how to do good to their children, parallel. How much more your Father which are in heaven? So the best you know about your earthly father, God says, I am more awesome than awesome can ever be. Now the parallel. Can a mother ever forget her own children? And every woman that has ever had a child can answer this. God says, neither can I ever neglect or forget you. It is impossible. Parallel. Now the parallel. When you are born in a hospital, they place you in a home, a family. Every baby grows the best in a family. Parallel, when you are born into God's kingdom, God puts you into a spiritual family. So this here, this morning, is not a church service. This is the family coming together. This is the family of God, a spiritual family. Listen. If you believe it, you understand how crazy it is that people quit their church families. You go like, well, they said to me, stop gossiping. I'm just going to find a gossiping church. Right? No, don't go anywhere. Take the spanking and grow up. Right? Because imagine our kids could quit our families. Oh, Lord. I hate spinach. I'm going next door to the pizza family. No, it's dumb. It's dumb. You can't quit church. Turn to your neighbor and say, stop quitting your family. Just stop. Just stop. It's crazy. Don't do that kind of thing. Now, the parallel. When babies are born, then there is an expectation that the infant becomes a toddler. The toddler becomes a bigger toddler. And then the bigger toddler becomes a teen. And the teen becomes a young adult. And the young adult grows up. In the same way, God expects us, when we are born into the kingdom, that we would grow spiritually and mature in God. And if you believe that, would you say amen? Amen. So I wrote this down. Growth is a sign of a healthy life. And I want to ask you a question. If you're a parent and a grandparent in this place, let me ask you, why is it critical for your kids to grow? Now, I know it sounds like a stupid question. And when I wrote it down, I had to come up with an answer, because that's what I'm supposed to do. And I had to think for a while, because I've never really considered why it's important for my kids to grow, because it's never been an option. I've never thought I can negotiate with my 2-year-old and say, one day when you get bigger, do you want to grow or do you want to stay with mommy and daddy forever? It never became a conversation, because I am very clear on this thing, that my children's destinies, futures, purpose, their very lives depend on me growing them and maturing them. The very fact that I desire for them to be awesome human beings that's going to do awesome things, marry awesome husbands and wife and have lots of awesome babies, and for their awesome babies to become awesome and do awesome things, and one day I will have an awesome legacy because of a lot of awesomeness that's been compiled. It's part of growing. You get what I'm saying? In other words, that is not really an option. That's why I truly believe that kids are not growing in the natural should leave parents deeply concerned. If you ever go to the doctor and your doctor says, hey, your kid is like falling behind on the growth curve, if you go like, well, bad luck, you're not a good parent. I have walked this journey with parents that go from doctor to doctor to doctor. They cannot sleep because they will and cannot allow their children to not grow and stay in pace with everything that's happening. In the same way, ladies and gentlemen, we should have the same concern if we do not grow spiritually. We should have the same concern if the people that we know around us is not growing spiritually. Because let me tell you this, and I'm going to say something that may be a little bit strong. When we become immune to the dangers of flatline growth, as a parent, if you no longer care if your kids are growing and maturing, you know what you're going to end up with? A 35-year-old in your basement that plays Xbox every day and eats your food. Oh, I'm preaching right now. And if you're 35 and in the basement, don't email me. Do not do this. Your parents should kick you out of the house. It's hard to play Xbox on the sidewalk in the winter in Rochester, New York. Yeah, I'm going to tell you that. You go like, I'm going to hit you. Well, at least you'll do something then. Come on now. You see what is at stake is your purpose, your destiny. Do you understand the amount of awesomeness that's in you that is dying every single day because you have given up on growing up? Do you understand that you have legacy that you've got to leave on this earth? Now, the question is, what happens when people don't grow spiritually and we're okay with that? I'm going to tell you it's far worse because eternity is at stake. We've got to realize eternity is at stake. That's why spiritual growth cannot and should never become inconsequential. God desires for me and you to grow spiritually. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. And I'm going to invite us all to read really, really loud. Come on, help me. It reads like this. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk. Come on. Pure milk of the word that you may grow, so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Come on, shout it out. Cry out for, I love this. Cry out for this nourishment. There is nothing as ear-piercing as the cry of a hungry baby. You can't say to the hungry baby, listen, I'm first going to do the floors and the windows, then I'll get to you. No, 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 no. You see, there is something that God has built on the inside of babies. It is a survival cry, an insistent cry. It's a cry that makes them survive. I pray this morning that the Holy Spirit will awaken in every single one of your spirits. A survival cry that awakens, that rises up. Because for some of you, you are dying spiritually and nothing is rising up on the inside. I pray that something will be loosened and awake on the inside of you, that you will begin to plant your feet and say, I'm not going to die spiritually. I'm not going to become stagnant. I'm not going to become that spiritual in the basement playing Xbox, complaining about everything kind of spiritual person. I am going to grow up and cry for the nourishment of God's word. Oh, this is good preaching. Listen, I'm totally convinced if I read scripture that the Bible says that you and I have an enemy. The Bible calls him Satan, the evil one. You may not believe it, but he likes you not believing that he exists. The Bible says he's out to kill, steal, and destroy. Resist your life. I'm totally persuaded his job is to keep you a spiritual infant. You know why? Because the book of Matthew, and you'll find out more about it next week, says the moment that the word of God is given to you, the thief comes immediately. Come on, shout immediately. He comes immediately to steal the word that has the power to change and grow you up. In other words, as we are in this place right now, some of you are looking at me, but you're not really here. You're at Disney right now, or you are cleaning your house in your head right now. And what you're not understanding is you are being violated as we speak right now. The enemy is snatching the word, because if you get this morning and something comes of it, there is a problem for the enemy. You say, how's that possible? Let me explain. Every neighborhood has got a bully. I'm convinced of that. I went to high school in South Africa. It works a little bit different. When we turn 13, we go to high school. When I went to high school, the guy that was in my class was 18. He failed so many times. Have you just met some of those kids? They came out of the womb 45 pounds. He's one of those. He's like a grown man. Like with all of us of this size. You know what he did the first day we came to high school? He took a ballpoint pen and he stabbed us all in the head. We all had bleeding skulls. So I became his best friend. That's how I rolled. Just like, I'm going to fight him. I'm part of this big man team. Now, but the problem is, if you're a bully, your shelf life is short. You know why? Because little people grow to big people. Come on, you go back to your old neighborhood where that bully is. He's the guy in the basement with the Xbox. Right? Come on, I'm preaching. Yeah, yeah. Don't email me. Do not do that. Do not do that. And then he comes out and you go like, really? I will hit you in the head just because I can. Really? You put terror in us? I'm not that guy anymore. Do you know that the Bible says in the book of 1 John, he says, I'm writing to you fathers because you intimately know God. Then he says, I write to you little children because you've become acquainted with God. Then he says, I write to you young men and women. You know what a young man and woman is? It's a child that have grown but are not fully mature yet, but you have grown. He says, because you have overcome. Listen, I want you to read with me 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. He says, I've written to you. Come on, shout it out. Young people, because you are strong and God's word lives in you. Come on, shout it out. You have won the victory over the evil one. I'm here to tell you that when you grow in God, Satan can't push you around anymore. You're not victimized anymore. Your family is not victimized anymore. And it would be a great thing when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, when you realize if I grow in God, I can't be pushed around anymore. I can now defend my kids. I can defend my marriage. I can help the world. Because as long as you remain a baby, you cannot defend your own life. Come on, shout, it's time to grow. Come on, shout, it's time to grow. One of those beautiful psalms that I know you know, Psalm 1. And I'm paraphrasing. He says, blessed is the man that doesn't walk on the way of the wicked, stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Oh, then he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of life, which yield its fruit in season, and his leaves shall not wither, and whatever he does, it shall prosper. Now, I want to go to the last portion of the scripture and read it slowly. Because you see, in Psalms 1, the Lord shows us a picture of what a healthy, grown-up, mature in God's life can look like. In Psalms chapter 1, verse 3, come on, let's read it slowly. And I'm going to give you six words that you can mark down and underline in the scripture. Psalm 1, verse 3 in the Amplified says, and he shall be like a tree firmly planted. First thing that God says, when you mature, you become planted. You know what's beautiful about planted? That when you plant it deep, that winds cannot move you anymore. Because you see, I've met too many people, they are planted and they love Jesus when they get promotions and everything works out. But when winds of adversity comes, you can't find them anymore. Listen, God's desire is that you and I are deeply planted in him. When the winds of adversity comes, it doesn't matter. You know why? Because we are planted in God. Nothing can move us. Nothing can shake us. And you know where he is planted? The Bible says he is firmly planted and tended by the streams of water. You know what that means? Not only are you planted, but you sustained. You cannot go through drought when you're planted by living water. God's desire is for you never to become dry. Oh, I love that. Never for you to shrivel up, because wherever you planted, there's ongoing streams of water. Then the Bible says, and ready to bring forth fruit in season. So I want to say this to you. The third thing, God wants you to be fruitful. And fruitfulness makes you influential, because our world needs fruitful people. people that contribute awesome things. And God says, you will not only be fruitful, but you will be consistent because you will bring your fruit in season. Then he says this, and your leaf shall not wither. What is that? I say you are alive, because people who are alive do not wither. Listen, isn't it great when people look the same in the mountain than they do in the valley? Isn't it great when things go right, they look one way, when things go wrong, they look the same way? Because they are not determined by the circumstances. They are planted by the living water and their leaves do not wither. And then the Bible says, whatever you do, it shall prosper. I don't know about you. When I hear that, I go like, ooh, 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 pick me, pick me, pick me. Come on, come on. Who feels that? Just me, me, God, me. That is a picture of what I want. I don't think there's a single person in this place that go like, ah, planted by rivers of life, fruitful, alive, successful. Ah, no, I don't want to do that. I think everybody wants that. But you see, what keeps us from that, Psalms 1 talks about this, is the thing called dissonance. Dissonance, let me explain to you what dissonance is. Dissonance is the lack of harmony among musical notes. It's the tension or the clash between two disharmonious elements. I'm going to try and explain this to you. It's now the fifth time I'm doing that, and every single time I'm inventing new chords. Okay. Okay, so this is harmony. Oh, you didn't know I can do this, did you now? Let the church say yes. Don't worry. Here's dissonance. It's actually an awesome chord in my world. Can you hear that? This is screwing up. This is harmony. This is messing up the harmony. Some of you looking so clueless right now. It's okay, I'm going to help you. All of us wants a sexy body in 2015 summer. Come on, preach to me. Sexy summer 2015. When the sun comes out in Rochester, New York, you want to come out of that front door and you want the world to go like, oh, look at you, you beautiful creature. Come on now. Okay, I'm going to help you as your pastor. It's the will of God for you to look awesome in 2015. I want to look so awesome. I want to be ripped in 2015. But there's dissonance. In my world, it's yogurt and granola. In yours, Twinkies and Coca-Cola. I want to look so awesome. But I love Twinkies and Coca-Cola. Dissonance. And until I can address the dissonance, the dream is frustrated. You've got to love your dream more than you do your granola and yogurt, your Twinkies and Coca-Cola. And the Bible says, here's the dissonance with being planted in God. Next to the rivers of life, bearing fruit in and out of season, your leaves does not wither. He says, blessed is the man who does not walk in step with wicked people. Listen, I'm not saying hate wicked people. You know what wicked means? I'm going to give to you the exact wording. Wicked means to be loose or unstable. Wickedness refers to those who are controlled by their own desires, emotions, and flesh rather than God and His Word. I love the way that scripture says, do not walk in step with people like that. If you want to walk in step with somebody, you've got to match their pace. And when you walk in step with somebody, that means you can have conversation. God says, be careful that wicked's conversation doesn't become the place that fills your heart, because it will steal from you maturity in Christ. Then he says something further. Blessed are those who do not walk in pace with the wicked or stand. Come on, shout stand. There is a progression here. First you walk, now you stand. He says, stand in the way of sinners. You know what sin is missing the mark. God says, be careful to have standing relationship with people that have a total disregard to obey God. Because when you begin to make that your main fellowship, it's going to be the dissonance. They're pulling you away from the good things of God. They're not propelling you as a greenhouse. They're actually pulling you out of the greenhouse. And then he says, not only walk in pace or stand, but those who sit among those who mock and ridicule God, the things of God, the family of God, the children of God. The Bible says, be careful of those kind of people because they will become the Twinkies and the Coca-Cola that steals away the dream to become fully mature in God. I am not saying hate them and throw them aside. I'm saying let them not become the primary source that injects life to you while you desire to be this. Because you see, I am totally persuaded of this one thing. Ladies and gentlemen, if I want to be planted and sustained and influential and consistent and alive and effective, then I've got to walk a different road. I've got to stand in a different place and I've got to sit in a different seat. Because when I do, it will release on the inside of me a desire for God and the things of God. And without that desire, all we have is empty pipe dreams. Because the Bible says what needs to be released in us, Psalms chapter 1, verse 2, Dennis, you can come. It says this, but his delight and desire are in the law of the Lord, and on his law, the precepts, the instructions, the teaching of God, he habitually meditates, ponders, and studies by day and night. Come on, the message says this way, instead you thrill to God's word. You chew on scripture day and night. And for many of you in this place, if you were to be honest with yourself before God, you don't even know where your Bible is. To be honest with you, you don't even know where to find it. And you are wondering why you are fighting feelings of cynicism and unbelief and doubt. I'm here to tell you, babies that don't get food will die. And people who do not grow spiritually will begin to vacillate and fall away. And before you know it, they become the wicked, they become the sinner, and they become the ones who ridicule the things of God. Now, I can tell you something. We can dim the house light. With the privilege of traveling and preaching in different places, you find different temperatures, spiritual temperatures in different regions and countries. When you go to the South, it's really crazy because in the South, I had a lady in the 7-Eleven that wanted to pray for me. I was like, Dan, is this 7-Eleven or heaven? I have no idea. First of all, I can't understand a word she's saying, and I know she's speaking English, but it's just hard. I'm like, wow, it's like everybody is saved in this area. But right here in the northeast of America, the temperature is a little colder spiritually. There's a lot of resistance to God. And before you feel sorry, in Europe, it's even worse. The congregations that you preach to are small, tiny. And it's not because they don't know how to do it. It's just frigid. Spiritual climate is ice cold. But you see, it doesn't matter how cold the climate is, as long as you plant it in a greenhouse. But if you're not planted in a greenhouse, it is hard to survive. It is hard to thrive. You say, Pia, what do you mean? Listen, you know what a greenhouse provides? It provides light. You say, what's light? I'm going to tell you right now. The Bible says the entrance of God's word brings light right now. As you're hearing what the word of God is saying, light is permeating inside of you and reflecting out of you. The second thing, it provides protection. It keeps you from being plucked out. I love how the scripture says in the book of Ephesians 4, he says, you will no longer be children that's tossed and carried by all kinds of teachings like the wind. You will no longer be influenced by people who are cunning and clever and their strategies to lead you away. When you're in a greenhouse, you're surrounded by people who love God. They will actually go like, that's just a whole lot of nonsense. Stop. That's there to get you out of the chamber of life. There is another thing that this provides is an atmosphere that is life-giving. You say, Pierre, where is that? Where is that place of that greenhouse? Oh, I love Psalm 92, verse 12. and 13. This is my last scripture. Can we read it out loud? It says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Everybody out loud. Those who are what? Planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. I'm telling you right now, God's desire is for you to be planted in this greenhouse, or a greenhouse that is life-giving. But there's a progression. The progression of walking, standing, and sitting. For some of you, you've been coming to the Father's house, and I've just met a lot of beautiful people after the previous service. And many of you are still in the walking phase. You walk from the parking lot to your seat, you sit, and when I say amen, you walk right on out back. You're still in the walking phase, and I'm so thankful you're walking, but you know you've got a next step, it's standing. You need to take the risk of saying, I'm not going to just walk out, I'm going to remain. Go buy yourself a coffee and introduce yourself to someone. Just say, hey, have you got kids? If they say no, say, get some. It's awesome. Kids make the world go round. I'm joking. No, I'm not. No. Just meet somebody. Because you see, the one thing that you may not realize, the one common denominator that helps everybody grow up is another human being. Not a single baby can grow without somebody prodding them forward. Nobody grows spiritually without somebody prodding them forward. You say, I don't need people, I just need God. No, 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 that's a strange teaching. Because God made you to be in a spiritual family, a greenhouse of growth. Your family is just a greenhouse. The world tells your kids, you suck. They come home to the family and you go like, you're the most awesome human being that God has ever made. What are you? You're a greenhouse. You propel life in them. Without that, they will die. That's why never stop validating your children. Don't become the same voice as the world speaking failure to them. Be a greenhouse that grows your family and your spiritual family. But for those who take the courage to stand, there's many of you who love standing, but now there's a next step, and that's sitting. That means community. That means serving. That means joining our link group. That means joining a small group. That's risking coming closer to people. And if you don't know how to do it, go to the middle of our foyer, and you will find Guest Central people wearing yellow t-shirts. They will help you. We have 100 spaces available for those who are ready to risk that sitting down with other people that love to grow. And I promise you, you will find growth in your life. But this atmosphere is such a beautiful thing. And when we worship, there are significant things that happen. You know, the Bible says that there was a king, his name was Saul. And an evil demonic spirit would come and torment him and bring depression so deep he wanted to die. And the people came around him and were like, what are we going to do? Then somebody says, hey, there's this guy called, or this girl called Becca Johnson. And if she sings, evil departs. Because when she sings, God's presence comes down. And do you understand that worship repels evil? When you are in a worshipful atmosphere, things get shifted from you. You know why you walk out and you go like, I feel so great? It's because God's presence repelled evil from you. Second thing is, Elisha, they came to Elisha, says, there is a trouble. We need to hear what God's got to say. Elisha, you're a prophet. Tell us. Elisha says, find me an anointed musician. Because when they play, God speaks. But when I prayed this week for you and for this message, I kept seeing this. Cellophane? Cling wrap? Glad wrap? Saran wrap. Sorry, I should know what this is. In our country, it's called? It's a cling wrap. That's what we call. We call it cling wrap. You say, Pierre, why? Why this? This, I go, my God, every time I pray, I see this stuff. Because you see, the dissonance that exists with us. As we come into this worshipful atmosphere, but what we've done is we have isolated ourselves from it penetrating us. It falls on us, but it doesn't get into us. You stand there and you know worship repels evil. You go like, well, I don't like singing and I don't like the songs. Yep, you've clean wrapped yourself. And I am I am flexing my muscles right now. You go like, you look awesome, Pastor P. Diddy. This is all good. You know you need relationships, but you run from people. You know a small group will change your life.
But I am going to go to somebody's house and sit in my stinking cat, and I don't even like people.
Well, you're cling wrapping yourself. You sit here week after week, but nothing is happening. You go like, this church is not feeding me. Actually, they can't get through the cling wrap. That's what's going on right now. And here you are. Other people are standing and worshiping Jesus. They're crying and you're annoyed. You cling wrap yourself. You say, I can't trust people. They've hurt me. Yeah, they've hurt me too. But I cannot let their hurt rob me from other relationships. Then they get me twice. Really? I'm going to allow them to get me twice? No, you see, my fight is the dissonance. It's breaking free. It's saying, Jesus, when we worship, I may not like the songs, but I need what happens when we sing those songs. Jesus, I need evil to depart from me. That's why I don't even know why these people raise their hands, but if it helps, I'm going to raise my hands and worship you. Jesus, I don't even like the people, but I'm going to get close to them because somehow they've been here longer than me, which means they are fighting and they're growing. I'm going to fight cling wrapping my spirit and my heart and my existence, because this is the dissonance that's got to cease. This is the stuff that is stealing from me. Because if I want to grow, and I love what I saw as one of the tweets, in a year from now, you will be glad you did. Because you'll be a young man, young woman, strong in the Lord, growing, filled with vibrancy and life. So I was wondering, as you received this beautiful little booklet coming in, if you did not, grab one on your way out, because it asks this simple question right in the middle. What is holding me back from breaking through? What is that thing, that dissonance that I've got to overcome? I want you to think through that this week. Because for some of you, it's finding a Bible, getting a Bible. And if you don't have one, go to our guest central. They will give you a Bible. And I want to invite us all to read the book of Proverbs this week. It's right in the middle of the Bible. Read a chapter a day. And the things you don't understand, go like, whoop, I'll skip over that. You will find stuff you understand. Take a next step. But I'm going to invite us to just close our eyes. I'm going to invite us to allow the Spirit of God for 10 more minutes to just create an atmosphere of life that repels evil, unbelief, doubt, anger, jealousy, unforgiveness, rage, depression, anxiety, fear, suicide, addiction, all the things that is meant to destroy you. Because where the presence of the Lord is, there is freedom. But you have got to remove the cling wrap. You've got to remove the coating that insulates you. You've got to remove that stuff because it's keeping you from the life that is in Christ. All the other names fade away. Let all the other names fade away till there's only you. All the other names fade away. Jesus, take your place. Jesus, take your place. Come on, you want to with our hands
lifted high in prayer.
Command depression to go in Jesus' name. Command anxiety to go in Jesus' name. Command addictions to be broken over your life right now in the name of Jesus. Anxiety and fear, leave right now in Jesus' name. Sickness and disease, got to bow its knees right now. That self-destructive mindset lies over you. Break it over you right now in Jesus' name. that eating disorder, break it over you right now in Jesus' name. Oh, you belong to God. You belong to His grace. Life, do you blind eyes see, see. Faith, rise up in you. Faith, rise up in you. Come on, every head bow and every eye is closed. You are here this morning. You're in the greenhouse, but you're not planted in Jesus. Oh, this morning you realize today, man, I have no relationship with God. I believe in God, but I've never surrendered my life to God. Hey, when I was 13, I prayed a very simple prayer. The power is not in the prayer. It was in my heart, believing that God is a promise keeper. And I would love to pray this prayer with you. If you say, Pierre, I know that I need life change, transformation. I need the rescue of God to come. I try, but I fail. I go to church, but it's just not working. I'm here to tell you, you cannot work it by yourself. That's why Jesus came, to bring you and I that try but can never reach, that are far close, because it's His work in us. And if you're in this place and you're online, you say, Pierre, I know that's me. Would you just pop up your right hand as high as it can go so I can see where you are? You guys online, just simply click the respond button. I'm going to pray with you. Hands are going up everywhere. Come on, shameless. Don't think, what are people going to say? This is between us and God right now. And I'm going to lead you in a very simple prayer. And I'm going to help ask everybody to help us pray this prayer. But you who've raised your hand, whisper this prayer with me, because the Bible says with your heart you believe and with your mouth you confess. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm raising my hand because I need you. You said, if I call upon your name, you will save me. Jesus, I'm crying out to you. Create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a new spirit. Take away my stubborn heart. Forgive my sin and my rebellion. I turn away from wrong and I fix my eyes on what is right. Thank you that you're a promise keeper. I believe you're the Son of God that died for my sin. And therefore I believe, as you hear this prayer, you transform me by your grace. You plant me deep by the rivers of life. I will never be the same again. You're a promise keeper. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Amen. Listen, if you prayed this prayer right now, I'm so stinking excited with you right now. I want you to go after service to the Narthex. I'm going to be there. I want to shake your hand. If you prayed this prayer today, come and see me. I want to shake your hand and just high five you, because listen, my life has been transformed and so is the life of so many people in this place, and your journey has just begun. Listen, let me just bless you. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the beautiful, beautiful intimacy and communion of His Spirit be with you. May the Lord bless you. May He keep you. May He shine His countenance of radiant love over you. May God give you peace. May He fill your home and your life with so much laughter. People will think you've gone insane. And may this blessing rest and remain on you and I until I see you tonight at 6 at Core. Don't miss it. It's going to be so awesome. Otherwise, I'll see you next week. Let's continue to grow. That is God's desire. Thank you.